John, I got a question for you. Do the man make the clothes, or does the clothes make the man?
Clothes maketh man.
Which is why you got to be a member of the 5-4 Club, especially for the summer. You got to look fresh during the summer. When you're out there at your Darty, when you're at your share house, when you're cooking on the beach, you got to have that swag, that summertime feel to you, right? That's where 5-4 Club comes in. They'll send you a package of clothing every single month for this summer with clothes that not only fit you, but are also accustomed to the season that we're in. So you're going to get fresh summer gear that fit you and is up to your fashion preference, because you go to 5-4club.com and you create your style profile, meaning you put your sizes in and you put whether you're fashion forward, whether you're a little more conservative, and they tailor all your wants and needs to your monthly package. It starts at $60 a month, but if you use my promo code KFC, you're going to get $20 off that first month's package, plus a free pair of 5-4 sunglasses, which you can rock all summer long, valued at $75. Also, a little benefit of becoming a member. Not only are you going to get these clothes shipped to you, but if you want to go online and go to their website and pick and choose things a la carte, you get 50% off all e-commerce. So let's say my package is different from John's. He got something I like. I want to buy it separate from my membership.
That's probably how it goes.
Yeah, usually. I mean, who knows? Maybe I can contend with the champ one day. You go to 5-4club.com. You can buy whatever you want. So once again, go to the website, 5-4club.com. Use the promo code KFC. Get $20 off your first month's package. Get the 5-4 sunglasses and cook for the summer. Let's do it. All right, it's another edition here on Memorial Day weekend as we kick things off here at KFC Radio. We are the official podcast for the boys.
For the boys.
It's going to be for the boys for the summer. We're going to talk all summer long about all things guys. Girls, turn it off. Girls, you're not allowed to listen for the summer.
Mm-mm.
I'll see you on September, what, like 5th?
You guys are allowed.
You guys, no, that's it. You're out.
Please, I just said that that's so sexy. Of course they're still out. They're not going anywhere
now. They're not going anywhere. They're not going anywhere, man. You're not allowed to listen until Labor Day. No more insight for you girls. No more little secrets. No more brutal honesty. Nope, you're out. It's just for the boys for the summer. So send along all of your summer-related questions, all of your summer-related stories. We'll be telling them all summer long here on KFC Radio. We got voicemails, of course, as you always have on Thursdays. We're going to get into some For the Boys talk. But last night, I want to start with me just rubbing shoulders with the Hollywood Elite last night. Me and my boy Colin Jost out at the Red and Blue Soiree, which was a... First of all, have you ever been to a soiree?
What a fucking word.
What a word.
A soiree,
dude,
is just... It just drips
yo,
class.
Yo, soiree is much like the Met Gala. If someone tells me they're going to a soiree, I'm like, you're an asshole. If you're going to a soiree, you're like, yo, I'm at a soiree.
How you even spell soiree?
You want to know? There's an accent in it.
Is it S-O-I-R-E?
Double E. With an accent
I
over the first
double E.
Yeah.
I just nailed that.
You
that
did.
Was amazing.
That was actually very shocking. Very shocking.
I may not know how fast the world spins, but I can spell like a motherfucker.
Hey, John, guess what? Not many other people did too. All of those, I put up tweets. KFC Radio fact versus real fact from our dinosaur discussion last episode. Everything was 50-50.
I don't think I was wrong on anything. I like to make
you
fun
were,
of...
You were dead wrong on all of them.
I like to make fun of people who deny science and stuff like that. But in this case, fuck science, man. I'm right.
Yo, I mean...
The world's not spinning fucking... what was it? 100,000 miles an hour?
It was 10. No, it was 1. It was 1,000 miles an hour.
It's not going that fast.
That's not that fast. Like, planes go 600. We actually got a call on the radio, Barstool Radio, that was like, if the world's spinning 1,000 miles an hour and planes fly like 600, how do they get anywhere? And I was like,
all right.
And I thought I had it. I was like, well, the plane's not high enough to get out of the gravitational pull, but that means that's the point. Like, you're not outside of it, so you'd still just be spinning with it.
So could a plane race around the planet?
Yeah, I mean,
and land in the same day?
I mean, the kid was like, he's put it best. He's like, it's like walking 5 miles per hour on a 10 mile per hour treadmill.
Like, sounds right to me. I don't know.
I don't know enough to debate you.
Don't get it, man. Hashtag I just don't get it. So I'm at the Red and Blue Soiree last night, which is for the FDNY and NYPD widows. And I was happy to do that. I mean, Like that, I was thrilled. I was flattered to be invited to that. Right? It was
it was an event
that I was like, you know, if there's an event that I'm gonna go to, it's gonna be this one. And then I saw that Colin Jost was gonna be on the SNL cast member who hosts Weekend Update, who I think is like a good fit for Barstool. I think that like he would be a guy that we would all get along with.
And yeah.
He just found out he's fucking banging ScarJo, like he's killing it, killing life. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna go. Very happy to be there, and hopefully I'm going to meet Colin Jost. Maybe I can talk to him, like, open up some doors. And I go there, and I'm like, I'm alone, and I'm awkward, and I'm like, all right.
You were totally solo?
Solo. Because I didn't know what to expect. They were like, do you want to bring your wife? I was like, no, that's fine. She's got to watch the kid. I probably just should have invited one of you two, but I was like, I don't know. I really wasn't thinking at the time. I was like, I just want to get in, talk to him, like, see some people, shake some hands, like, whatever. And then the day came and I went alone and I was like, what the fuck am I
doing?
That's
a wild move.
That is,
I mean, I don't go anywhere alone. I don't go to the corner store alone. I'm like, Lou, you want to go for a walk?
Yeah, I mean, it was a wild miscalculation on my part.
I'm still scared I'll get kidnapped or something.
I go buddy system
everywhere. Absolutely everywhere.
So I pop in. I like being at the bar though. So, you know, I just sidle up to the bar and there's some, like, a couple stoolies see me, so I end up chatting with them. And then I'm just, like, kind of making a round at one point. There was so many chicks, dude. I absolutely should have invited you. I was like, this is a crime that I'm here and not someone else. It was, like, one of those, like, you know, I don't know if you've ever...
Chicks dig soirees.
Yeah, I don't know if you've ever gotten plugged into this because you're not from here, but, like, there is the, like, New York City, Manhattanite, like, charity circuit.
Fucks.
And there's a lot of hot chicks. They're like kind of like not the chicks you want to be.
I've always
down
assumed
with.
That every charity event ends in something of a Eyes Wide Shut party.
Yes.
Like it's like, yeah, this is the front, and then when we go home, we're gonna put on cloaks and just like
fuck bird masks, the throw the keys in a bowl, pick them out, swing the whole nine. All those chicks are like they're doing it probably for the wrong reasons, and they're all like hoity-toity bitches. But they fuck. So, but I mean, this was different, though. The NYPD, New York, the fire department thing, like, who knows? Maybe they are, maybe they're not. But they were hot. So I'm making some rounds, and I see Colin Jost come up. And it was, like, the perfect opportunity because he was kind of, like, awkward, too. He was, like, I could see that he was, like, oh, I don't really know what to do either. No ScarJo in attendance. So he's, like, standing at the bar. And I was like, this is perfect. I'm going to, like, literally have a private conversation with him right now and, like, try to introduce myself and Barstool and, like... And as I'm walking over to him, my buddy from high school, whose father died in 9/11, his mom, like, happens to show up at the same exact time. And so I'm, like, ready to be like, Colin, what's up, man? And she's like, Kevin, how are you? And I'm sitting here at the red and blue soiree, and I'm like, this is my opportunity to do, like, what work I wanted to do. But she comes up, and it was like a total Larry David moment where I had a flash of myself being like, not now, Carol. Like, get out of the way. Like, let me talk to this SNL guy. But I couldn't do it. Obviously cannot. Cannot choose that. So I end up talking to her for a while, and, you know, Colin gets, like, swept away or whatever. And I was like, ah, whatever. Like, again, that was the right decision to make, right?
It was. I'm going to ease your soul. Yeah, right. You made the right
But move. So I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know what? If there's any karma out there in the world, this would maybe come back to me. And, like, as I decided to leave, he was, like, in the same spot, basically. And that's where I was able to snap a picture with him and just kind of like mention who we are really quickly. So I was like, all right, there's a little kismet in the universe right now, but for a split
a little
second.
Kismet? What's
right?
Kismet?
Kismet's the right word, right? Karma, kismet?
Sounds right.
Yeah, that's a word.
I don't know.
Fact check me. What does kismet mean?
That sounds Jewish.
It does. Sounds like Yiddish.
Yeah.
It's a word.
It might be a word,
destiny,
but.
Destiny or fate.
Bam! In your fucking face.
Is it Jewish?
Is it a Jewish word? It's probably like a...
I do have the origin. It's Arabic.
I was going to say it's probably like some, you know, Middle Eastern yoga shit.
Turkish.
They do yoga over there, right?
Sure.
Whatever.
Everyone does yoga.
But I did... I was like, this could be an episode of Curb where it was like you like pushed away a 9/11 widow to like talk
to a sports... I've actually been heavy watching Curb too. So yeah, right? Really, really could
and then,
be that.
I mean, Larry would obviously have pushed her away and that would become the storyline or whatever. So I got a kick out of that. I also got a kick out of this story, which is one of the headlines. I didn't even read the rest of the story, to be perfectly honest. The headline was just absolutely...
I haven't read a news story in a decade.
You know when they say, like, facts don't matter? articles don't matter.
Not even a little bit.
Not. I mean, I can't tell you how many blogs I've written, how many podcast segments we've done, which are probably radically wrong. Where like I thought the girl was murdered, but it was actually the girl who did the murdering. Like things that are way that change the story completely.
If a news story doesn't fit in a tweet, I'm just not interested.
140 or less.
That's the world we live in now, and if you can't accept that like my blogs, I used to, like 7 years ago, I used to write long blogs. Like they used to yell at me, I write my blogs are too long. You're lucky if you get a second paragraph
right?
out of me these
why,
days.
Why? I mean, it's just extra words that nobody's going to read. Nobody's reading. We got, now that we have all these stats, it's like, why make like a 10-minute video nobody watches after 45 seconds? Like, what are you guys doing? You're wasting your time putting out 30-minute videos. This place is crazy. So the headline was, black man gets a white penis transplant. That's it. That you don't need anymore.
That's all. Trust me, I don't need any more. That's all I need.
I don't know why he needed a transplant. I don't know why it had to be a white penis, but
you just can't accept that.
If you're him,
yeah,
you have to be like, find me a black dick.
Find me a big black dick. But that's what I'd say, and I'm white.
And I'm white.
If I was black,
that's another sound drop.
I'd be like,
find me a big black dick.
If you're
John Feidelberg,
if you're fucking, are you fucking kidding me? I would choke that doctor out. I'd be like, what are you nuts? You're giving me a little white dude dick?
Well,
no,
this is my question. Would you rather have no dick at all, or a major downgrade to a white dick? You got to take what you can get there. You can't be dickless, John.
I'd
what if there's just not a black dick on the market for you?
I'd go kill a black homeless guy and take his dick.
You want a black homeless dick over a normal white dick?
If I mix in a shower, that dick's back to normal.
I don't think a shower can fix a homeless dick.
I think it can.
I think you need to dip that thing in like rubbing alcohol, which you probably can do before the surgery and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you can
clean it up.
Clean it up for sure. I mean, they're not fucking stitching it on you with like crotch rot after the dude's had like newspapers to keep him warm all winter. It's fucking, they're going to clean that dick up nice.
I know you said details don't matter, but this is a little bit of a detail. He lost his dick 17 years ago.
Oh!
So if you're going to wait that long.
Wait 18, 19, 20 for a big black dick.
Why would you wait 17 years for a new penis?
Yo, also, by that point, I'm just dickless.
I think, you know what I'd do?
At 17 years, I'm committed to having no dick.
I think I'd for like a day before they put the dick on, I'd be like, hit me with a vagina real quick.
Let me just test it out.
I just want to, like, I've always wanted, haven't you thought of, like, if I had a pussy for a day,
God,
I would just, like,
John,
I'd be banging myself all the time.
I would have no job. I'd have no social life. All I would do is sit at home and have sex with my own vagina.
I'd just be sticking things in it.
This
pen in my hand right now
would be
in my vagina.
This microphone, everything, I would put everything in my vagina all day long. I don't know how girls don't just sit around masturbating constantly.
I would definitely hook myself up with a pussy for a day. No question about it. If I'm waiting 17 years for a dick, I'm like, look, while we're waiting, just throw me a pussy.
Like, it's like a layover on a flight. Just give me a pussy for a little while, and then we'll get to the end destination with a dick.
I don't want to, like, I don't want to do, like, the transition thing. Like, I don't want to take hormones and whatnot. I just want a hole in me.
Just 24 hours of a hole. And maybe leave it in there if it's that fun.
throw a dick on top of it.
Yeah, well, it's straight up fucking Hermes status. John wants to be a hermaphrodite. Oh, we're kicking off the summer, right? For the boys, for the girls? I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a little bit for everybody.
I also didn't read the story. Don't accuse me of doing work. But I did see another headline where he's getting it tattooed, correct?
Yep.
He's getting it tattooed.
Oh, he's getting it painted.
Tattoo.
Yeah.
To change the color.
Yeah.
It's the wrong color.
I was going to say, that would be wild if you just pull your pants down and you just got a white dick. The purple head. With that weird, you know how they like, how your dick's like two different colors? There's that like, the bottom's like tanner than the top.
My dick's like three colors. I'm like a
two-tone.
You know what? My dick is like a Neapolitan ice cream block with the strawberry, the vanilla, and the chocolate. It just fades into colors. It really, honestly, it's almost to a T. That chocolate vanilla fucking strawberry.
I was gonna say like a Dr. Seuss hat, not the Cat in the Hat, like the stripe, but like one that just got a couple different shades all over the place.
Dicks are weird,
dicks
man.
Dicks are just so
That's
disgusting.
That's why, I mean, vaginas are weird too, but they seem much more fun.
That's why I totally get chicks who are bisexual and whatnot.
Right.
Like, it's, There's a reason that like, every naked painting ever is of chicks. There aren't like dude naked paintings.
Nope.
Our bodies are disgusting.
They're terrible, and the dicks are terrible because you don't want to paint a picture of me with my dick soft. But you also don't want to sit there and paint a picture of me while I've got a raging hard on.
I don't want you to paint a picture of me with a hard on. That's going to take forever. That's like some Viagra 4-hour shit.
Yeah, that's very true. Like dude, we need to take a photograph of that, and then you can take a picture of the photograph. It's the man thighs are gross, the paleness, the hair. It's just all a disaster.
Fucking gross.
I don't know what the fuck girls are doing. I guess they really don't enjoy it. They just kind of have to, right? Unless you're like, in really good shape, I think every girl is kind of like, all right, good enough. Like, okay.
I suppose. Yeah.
What else am I going to do? That's really how I feel what every chick is with naked dudes and sex.
That's definitely how every girl with me is.
Like, from the looks.
Not that there's like a fucking line of them, but no one's ever been happy to have sex with me.
I don't think so. I think I don't think I've ever. I mean, my.
That's why I don't ask. You know how like at the end, it's like, how was it?
I don't want to know.
I never ask that because I know how it was. It wasn't good.
My sex game is completely predicated upon everything but the actual sex.
Oh yeah.
Like the talk and the like, rip your hair around and yank it around. Like I'll do all the other stuff, but when it comes to like my D in your V, it's not going to be good. So I can create. It's a snake it till you make it thing. I will create the illusion that I know what I'm doing.
They say fat girls like suck good dick. Guess what? I'm a fat boy. I eat good pussy.
Because that's the one thing that you can just will. You can just willpower that. You know what I mean? Like, my dick is my dick, and it's not going to perform well, but I'll just stay down there. I'll put my fucking hard hat on, take my lunch pail to work.
Shout out Grit Week. Eating pussy's great as fuck.
That's grit, dude. That is where you just make it happen. I will stay down there until it counts.
Right. If you had dick game, that's a top performer. You're LeBron. LeBron's like
that's top 1% if your dick performs.
I'm Matthew Dellavedova. I'll dive on the floor. I'll get dirty.
Brian Scalabrine, bro. Right. Let's fucking go.
That's why we've made the argument before that. Tell you what, I'm coming around on everything right now because we've made the argument before that like hot people don't fuck good. Like hot dudes don't fuck.
No, they can't.
Nah, they're all prissy little bitches.
Right. They're not gonna get dirty.
No.
They're not gonna get in there. They're gonna be all hoity-toity. That's why you need to, like, so you know what?
Because they've been silver spoon fed their whole life. They get girls. I have to work for girls.
And you know what? It goes back to your message from last episode, date a depressed guy.
Yeah.
A guy who's depressed, a guy who's a little bit out of shape, he's going to work for it.
Yeah. He's not going to take it for granted.
No. And he's going to certainly know his limitations.
Hot guys, like, a hot dude is like, whatever. Like, if she doesn't think I'm good at sex, I don't care. I'll just fuck the next hot girl.
Right.
Me,
like, I need to take what I can get.
I'm like, if she doesn't think I'm working here, I'm probably going to die alone. I go into every sexual encounter.
Girls out there, think about this. When John's going down on you, he's thinking about his funeral all alone. He's thinking about the casket that he will have to pick out for himself before he dies.
If I don't get the job done here, I'm probably going to die alone. That's just every
that's motivation.
That's how I enter the bedroom. That's like tapping the play like a champion today sign. I'm like, yo, if I don't knock this out of the park, I'm the weird uncle.
That's motivation for you right there, man. Depression can work wonders. All these people are like, oh, I'm depressed, it's so bad. Depression makes the world go round, bro.
You gotta use it right. Use the proper
harness the power of depression. Oh boy. We are cooking today, bud. Let me tell you what. Let's see what voicemails have in store for us. They're brought to you by BetDSI. BetDSI has been in business for over 20 years. We are headed towards a rematch of the NBA Finals. We are headed towards...
Maybe not.
Stick a fork in the C's there, dunzo.
I did that before game one.
You did? I did that for the whole Eastern Conference in, like, November.
Yeah. And that's not wrong.
Like, no, not at all. And it's going to be that way until LeBron disappears. But we are going to have another NBA Finals where the Warriors are the favorites. I think, like, kind of convincingly so.
I mean, their average win these playoffs has been by 16
monster.
Points. They're through the Western Conference, and their average playoff win is 16.3 points.
But that being said, like, there's every chance that the Warriors go in there and win. But I'm just saying, I think the smart bet is to put money on an underdog LeBron James.
Yeah.
That's wild. It's wild. LeBron's been an underdog a few times. People knock him for his finals losses, but they were always against like a Spurs team that was the favorite. Like, yeah. We're just, you know, a better team.
I hate that bullshit, too, the losses thing.
Yeah.
Like, that's the dumbest. People do that with Brady. We're like, oh, Brady's 5-2 in the Super Bowl. Joe Montana never lost one. Joe Montana also lost 3 times in a row in the first round.
Right.
Tom Brady fucking never did that.
It's like you get penalized for making it a little bit further and losing.
Right. And you drag an inferior team further than they belong, and
yeah,
it's like
one of LeBron's finals losses was with like the worst finals team in NBA history,
right,
when he carried the original Cavs team there, and it was like against the Spurs, you have no fucking chance. We're gonna hold that against him. That was a goddamn miracle. So my point being, could the Warriors go win very easily? Do you have a chance to put down a bet on the greatest player of all time, arguably as an underdog? Yes, you do. I would make that bet. If you sign up right now at BetDSI.com, you get $25 just for registering. So throw that on the Caps. You also get a 200% bonus with your first deposit with the promo code KFC200. So if you want to join in now, make a hefty deposit. If you're thinking about throwing around some cash, do it right. Load up now. BetDSI will double whatever you put in there, and you get twice the money to throw around there. They got great mobile products. They got great customer service. And most importantly, they have built a reputation on fast payment of winnings, so you know you're going to get the money that you earn. It's BetDSI.com, promo code KFC200.
I think that was my first time saying 5-2 out loud, and I'm just thinking about it, so I might be done for the rest of the podcast.
Dude, imagine if,
5-2.
And those two should have absolutely been dubs.
I know.
Should be 7 Super Bowls. It probably will be soon enough. But
that's what the Super Bowl is, though. Like, it all comes down to a play.
One game, yeah.
Like people who have, they're like, oh, he could have lost the Falcons. He could have lost the Seahawks Super Bowl.
He didn't.
He could have won that one.
Could have easily lost
right?
to the Falcons. Like, did.
Right.
Didn't, you know? I'm totally with you on that. I think the Patriots are going to go undefeated next year.
Undefeated?
Like, honestly, who else is a good team?
No one.
You know what I mean? Like, who would really contend?
I wrote it 3 years ago, and people still give me
bad
shit
for football. The
Patriots ruined football.
Who is going to stop them?
I don't know.
Like when the Broncos were there, like that's a team that I'm like, the Broncos, they can win. I always feel like the Steelers can like maybe pull off a win, but you don't know what's going on with Big Ben.
I mean, they're...
other than that, like the Falcons are not going to be the Falcons of last year. Who in the NFC would you really be scared of? I mean, I don't know, maybe the Panthers have like a bounce back. But like you look around and it's like nobody's even close.
And they've just gotten way better than last year.
Way better.
Like way better. And they picked up Brandon Cooks and Stephon Gilmore. Like their defense, they have two shutdown corners now. They picked up one of the best wide receivers in football. It's like,
and the AFC East, which is always a cakewalk for them, I think is gonna be like a super cakewalk.
Oh, don't tell that to the Miami Dolphins.
Dolphins is their year.
It's summertime, the Dolphins' year.
Miami is probably like the greatest quote-unquote threat. Like the Jets are going to be horrible. The Bills are like, you know, the Bills in disarray, firing their GM like a day after the draft.
What a move.
A move. I just can't. And like there used to be that crop of quarterbacks where it was like Brady and Breeze and Peyton and Eli when he was like still good. And all those guys have like aged and Brady just hasn't.
Nope.
And then the young guys coming up. It's like
Cam's
shout
awesome. Shout out to
like,
Brady's Magic
Salt.
Man.
Shout out to the HGH.
Shout out to
the steroids.
It's actually, I don't know if we talked about it. I don't know if anyone's really talked about it. There was an article in Men's Health or Men's Fitness recently, and it was written by a guy who's a mountain climber. And what he did was he fell mountain climbing and shattered his ankle. Needed surgery. His heel bone.
Okay.
Shattered it. And I guess what happens when that something like that happens, it's like a bomb going off in your foot.
Okay.
So like the particles go everywhere. It's a major, major surgery to get all the bone particles out and whatnot. And the doctor, when he had the surgery, he told him, you're never going to mountain climb again. Ever again. It's done.
Also, by the way, you just shouldn't mountain climb.
He's like, don't think about it. Like this foot will never be able to climb a mountain again. So this guy goes to Alex Guerrero, Brady's guy, like a week after surgery.
Make me
and out. Says, I want to, like, he did it for the article. And he's
right.
Like, I wanted to see what it's all about. I wanted to go into this. So he goes in, the guy's supposed to stay off his foot for 6 months or something like that, just totally off it. And Guerrero's like, nah, we're on it today. And so he puts him in an anti-gravity walking thing.
Of course.
So it's like, he only had 10% of his weight on it.
But he was using it.
An anti-gravity treadmill is what it was. So he had 10% of his weight, but he's like, you have to train your mind, because your mind right now thinks your foot's gone. It thinks it's useless. He's like, you have to train your mind to be ready that foot's going to be used again.
This is why I can never. The only willpower I have is eating pussy. The rest of it, I got nothing. Like, I would just be like, that's it. I'm never going to walk again, let alone climb a mountain. Just cut the foot off. What do I need it for?
And so Guerrero, and he buys in totally to Brady's thing. He's doing the meditation. He's not doing nightshades. He doesn't drink coffee anymore. He doesn't do caffeine. He's drinking, like, tea, some kind of fucking teas. He's doing Brady's thing to a T. Goes back to the doctor like 6 weeks later. Doctor says, in 25 years, I've never seen this before.
Guy's fucking, I mean, it's the HGH, though. That guy's just a steroid dealer. That guy is just, he's just a cheater.
Dude, I like how Brady, too. Brady's like, I don't have secrets. This is what he wants to do with his life after. He's like, anyone can come. He's like, if LeBron James wanted to start coming, he'd play until he's 50. It's not like he's like, it's like some happening.
Yeah.
It's like they have a front office, and he's like, people, athletes.
Go here.
He's like, you should
humans,
be here.
You'll live longer. Like, you'll live better.
Gronk, Edelman, and Amendola have all gone and said, like, it changed their lives. Like, but it's not like going on in some dark corner. Brady's like, if you're
Here's
a fucking smart guy, come here because I know what I'm fucking. Well, Brady doesn't know what I'm doing, but, you know, I'm sure a lot of it's placebo.
And what does that dude charge per hour?
Yeah. LeBron James can afford it.
LeBron James, absolutely, for sure. All athletes should go, but anybody who was like, oh, well, I broke my leg and I'm going to go to Alex Guerrero, it's like,
No, you're not.
No, you are, absolutely not.
That's probably why this guy wrote that article, have Men's Fitness pay for it.
Well, I was going to say, you either need to get like a sponsorship, basically, or just be super fucking rich. I hate Tom Brady. I don't see any scenario under which he loses this year. All right, let's kick things off with the voicemails. We got a list here that I'm going to pick from. Let's just start with... Let's start with three. Bordy Barn.
Hey, guys. I was wondering if any of you have been to Bordy Barn in Hampton Bays. I'm going this weekend, but I heard there's lots of like do's and don'ts about what to wear and where to put smiley face stickers and whether you stack your cups or not. Got any advice for a first-timer?
I love that this is a girl. Girls who go to the Bordy Barn are a special breed. They're like the opposite of what I was explaining before about the hoity-toity Manhattan night chicks. Bordy Barn girls are down. They're just cool-ass chicks.
Bordy Barn girls, I've never been to Bordy Barn, but in my mind, Bordy Barn girls will fuck you in a porta potty.
Yeah, but not in like a trashy way. In like a carefree way. Like, I'll fuck you in the porta potty.
Okay.
You know when a girl says, like, I don't really do this, like, I never do this? But, like, she means it.
Yeah.
But she's like, we're at the barn. I'll fuck you. I'll fuck you in the bathroom. Whatever.
Not the bathroom.
It has to be a porta potty.
Porta potty.
That place, this ties in nicely to what I want to do for the summer here with as we transition to For the Boys. I want people to make a list of summer resolutions, not New Year's resolutions where it's like, I'm going to lose weight. Summer resolutions are things you're going to commit to make sure your summer's fucking awesome. And if you are anywhere in the New York area and you can make it out to Long Island, put the Bordy Barn on your summer resolutions list. It's basically a bucket list for the summer. The Bordy Barn is a one-of-a-kind experience. I don't know of any other bar that can replicate what they do. It's the whitest experience on earth, I'll tell you that much. If you're a colored fellow out there, you maybe don't want to go.
Why?
You can go, but I don't.
It's not like
it's not. It's like a big racist thing. I'm just saying you'll be one of the only black people there. The playlist is awesome white people music. It's like all the music that you hear, like a band, like a cover band play at like a live music bar. That's like you hear like a good example is like Two Princes, Spin Doctors.
Oh, I know.
Like shit that we fuck with hard, and it's like a whole playlist of those. So it's like a fun day like that. Nobody's like dancing to be cool. No one's going to the Bordy Barn to be cool. So she's asking, what are the do's and don'ts? And I remember vividly doing this with my wife, who was a Jersey girl. She came to Long Island with me one summer, and I sat her down and I was like, we have to have a talk about the Bordy Barn. Like, you need to be prepared for this. So you wear trashy clothes. You definitely wear trashy shoes. If you can, when I went, this was even just a few years ago, the world was different. If you can, don't even bring your cell phone. But if you do bring your cell phone, put it in a Ziploc bag because it will get ruined. You need to put anything of value in a Ziploc bag.
How would you not bring your phone?
Now you have to now. Yeah. I mean, even just like 5 years ago, it was like, I'll just leave it at home for a couple hours. To be honest, it's not really a bar where you're going to be on your phone. Because like maybe you like meet a chick and you would like get her number. No, you'll probably just like make out with her and maybe like finger her a little bit. And who knows? Maybe it's like they'll fuck you in the corner or something like that. It's like there won't be any follow-up. It'll just be that day. It'll just be like one and done.
I like that.
Yeah. So shitty clothes, shitty shoes, phone in a Ziploc bag, head on a swivel at all times. Because, I mean, so we walk in with my wife. The first minute we're there, my one buddy picks my other friend up like like, you know, when you're carrying the bride over the doorstep, like that way. And he's just twirling around like a fucking tornado. And his head smashes directly into my wife's eye. Like, black eye. Boom. Right away. I was like, well, this is not going well. Like, but I mean, at that point, too, we were just like savages. So she was like, whatever. Just get me a beer. Who cares? Now I think she'd be like decapitated and like she would never talk to anybody again. But you got to be ready for all that shit. Now, the smiley face stickers that she talks about, they just give out strips of stickers. And it's supposed to be like you give people a sticker because people dress in costumes. People dress up in stupid shit. Saturdays for the boys shirts, like hot. If you see something that you like, you put a sticker on it. People get creative with them where they put them. They put them on your dick. They put them on your ass. And I think I've told this many times before on the podcast, but I was getting a beer at the bar, and this girl just told me, she's like, I like you. And she put the sticker backwards on her tongue and licked my neck and put the sticky side on my neck and licked it onto me.
Well.
And I was like, I am in love. I am in love. And then to top it all off, you're at the bar, and they have like small draft beers. For probably like $1 or $2. I don't even know what they are anymore. They just leave the tap open the whole time. And they just shuffle the cups in and shuffle them to people. That's just how much beer they're drinking. Some insane stat. Like one Sunday at the Bordy Barn is like an entire summer of beer at Yankee Stadium. Something like it's one of those stories. I don't know. You can't quote me on that. Can you Google this? Like Bordy Barn, Yankee Stadium. It's something that is like almost like how fast is the world spinning. It's a number that like you wouldn't even fathom. I don't know if it's one day or one or summer to summer. I think it might be summer to summer, but it's like there are like 50,000 people go to the Yankee Stadium, and the Bordy Barn is just a bar. It's like just an open field with a tent. It's wild. And the other thing, last thing.
That's crazy.
Yeah, we'll get the actual number because I think what I said, I think I set the bar a little too high there. But it is something bananas with the amount of beer that's consumed. The other thing is that the line is a motherfucker. So you either got to get there real early or—
What's early?
It's usually open from— What is it? It's usually 4 to 8, and then on the holiday weekends, they do 12 to 8?
I think so. Yeah. It's definitely open at noon at some point.
Yeah, and that for those like the big days, like you got to get there probably around, like, I don't know, 11 a.m., and you're like just sitting on like there's you can't get in for an hour, but you'll be like at the front of the line. Or you got to swoop in, like, if it's 6 o'clock, 6:30, most people are, like, completely bombed, and you kind of just slip in for, like, a good hour and a half session. It's a fun fucking place, but it's like you got to gear up for it. And you're going to come home, like, filthy.
I'm going to do it once this summer.
You gotta.
So this says it's just day for day. Like, it sells more than Yankee Stadium sells that day.
50,000 people roll into a Yankee game and are just consuming beer for the same amount of time. And the bar that holds, I don't know, maybe, like, 1,000? I don't even know. Goes beer for beer with a Major League Baseball stadium.
That's pretty impressive.
It's a lot of beer.
It's not full summer.
No, it's not full summer. But I think I might have set the bar a little too high there. But that is that's no joke. Oh, they're open on Sundays.
That I knew.
So like you got to get it in. There's only that's why it's one of those things you got to commit to, because there's like 13 or 14 chances, period.
That's one, and that's actually what my summer resolution is going to be. It's going to be, don't let Monday ruin your Sunday. And
classic one. Classic.
And that always, because it's always in the back of my mind. Not anymore. Not this summer.
Commit to it! Because I'm telling you, at some point, it just won't even be an option. When the hangover starts setting in and life starts setting in, you can't even do it. When you still have the opportunity to be like, I'm going to be hungover as shit, but I can get through it, do it. Take the late train home on a Sunday night.
It's a lot.
Early train Monday morning if you can pull it off. Give yourself a full weekend.
The Mondays have gotten easier, actually, in New York, because it used to just be the four of us in an office, and Dave would come in and be like, you smell like a fucking bar.
Right.
I haven't talked to Dave in like 6 months.
Right. You can hide. When there's a zillion people running around, you can definitely hide a little more.
Like,
now.
I'm just going to go sit in the corner. You could also just not come.
Seriously.
If I pull that one all the time.
Especially with your Saturdays for the Boys movement, you can be like, we're doing some like, don't let Monday ruin your Sunday, so we got to be out here for Monday.
So I got to get wasted on Sunday, unfortunately.
Dude. Beautiful. Put that on a t-shirt. We will sell the Don't Let Monday Ruin Your Sunday shirts, and that just gives you an excuse for a three-day weekend every single weekend.
Let's go.
And you know what that turns into?
No, I can't, because I got to do this stupid-ass show.
No, you know what that'll turn into then? Don't let Tuesday ruin your Monday. And just keep spiraling until you're drinking every day. We'll make it work. Maybe I'll just join you.
Oh, there we go. Okay. Yeah, we'll do them live from Newport. Mondays.
Oh, boy. What I would give for that. So those are your two resolutions for this week's episode. For the boys for the summer, try to get the Bordy Barn off your bucket list. Don't let Monday ruin your Sunday. Next voicemail up, let's do number one, Mexican standoff.
Hey, KFC Fights. This is David from Dallas, Texas. I'm in a situation I'm going to need some help, relationship advice. So,
come to the right place.
I'm kind of just like Fights in the sense that I'm never going to break up in the relationship. I'm going to make it as miserable as possible until she essentially breaks up with me. But I've been dating this girl for about a year and a half, and I'm over it, and I'm just making things miserable day in and day out. We get drunk, we fight, we argue, we make up, have sex, and act like it never happened. But the issue I'm running into is she's the exact same as me. She's making
me worthy adversary.
I'm making her miserable. We argue all night, we get drunk, we have sex, and then yada, 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 and we keep going through it again. I don't know what to do. I thought about getting a job in a different city. That seems the most reasonable one. It's not a bad idea. I could try some other cities.
I love this guy.
I don't know what to do.
I know what to do.
Your advice.
You know what this guy should do?
Thanks.
He should propose to this girl. They're perfect for each other.
It's 100% Mary.
I mean, this girl, this is you. This is your girl, man. This is your dream girl. You just don't know it.
Dude, we get drunk, we fight, we have sex.
Yo, you're still having sex.
Like,
I'm not really even getting drunk, and I'm fighting, and I'm not even having sex. This guy's got all three. Do it up, man. That's living. Drunk fights, drunk sex, that's living.
It's no one likes the high school couple who fights, you know, and kind of puts a damper on the party.
True.
But being that couple is awesome. Being that couple is the fucking best, dude. There is no downside to that. There's no downside.
Other than everyone you come in contact with in public hating your guts, there's no downside
to it. There's no downside to being the people who just like fucking scream at each other.
You know what it is?
And then go to upstairs and fucking leave everyone else being like, this is awkward. Like, leave everyone else at the party.
We'll see you at brunch, guys.
Being like the people who, you know, daddy just hit mommy at the dinner table. Everyone else at the party is just kind of like, what do we do now? Because you just scream at each other. You punched a hole in the wall and you're like, let's go talk upstairs. That's it. And you're fucking upstairs. It's the best.
They make songs about this shit. Fighting hard, loving hard, makeup sex, makeup breakup. That is, it's enough of an inspiration for songwriters to make music. That is love.
Artists,
that is life.
Artists are inspired by the relationship.
Exactly.
You are in.
People go lifetimes without finding a love like this. Marry this girl and divorce her eventually.
Oh, definitely.
No,
I don't think they would. I think these two. And I love this game where he's like, I'm gonna fucking do it, like whatever. And they're just look like we've said. Like if you want to have a chicken fight with me. And we're talking who's gonna admit that they're miserable first? I will die.
I will take it to my grave.
I will die for that. I just to spite you. I will live a miserable life for 50 years to spite you.
It's so true.
And like, there's.
I think that's your greatest talent. In this world, in this life, it's not blogging, it's not podcasting, it's spiteful grudging. I think you have an unbelievable gift. I don't think many people can grudge that hard.
But it's not a grudge because I actually don't like to think of it as a grudge because a grudge takes effort, whereas I just let that come to me.
It's passive grudging.
I have such a thick armor. We can just like whatever. I've accepted misery.
Yeah, you know
what? That's what it is. I've accepted misery. So you're not gonna beat me at it.
Embrace mediocrity, man.
Like if you
know what it is, John? It's a war of attrition, and you just have like the thickest coat of armor, and it's just never gonna actually get to
it's
you.
It's never gonna get to me.
You can't beat John in an emotional, mental war of attrition.
I think it was Iron Man or something like that. Maybe like it's a video game where it's just two people with powers, and they're kind of just like
yep.
They're just both. Out of their hands.
I know
and
what you
they,
mean.
They're
meeting
they're meeting in the middle.
Yep.
I'm not losing that one. I'm not losing it. I'll stand there. Until I lay at my deathbed, in which case I will still be there.
You know those contests where it's like who can like keep their hand on the car the longest
way
to the car? And if you extrapolate that to miserable life, John will keep his hand on the miserable car of life for
I am
until
not
he's
taking
dead.
It off.
He'll piss his pants, he'll die right there. He ain't giving up.
It's like I don't know why I'm that way, I just am. But yeah, if I met this girl, I don't know what would happen.
I would love to see you go toe to toe with your true adversary. But I know what would happen. You would marry her.
Oh no, I know, but like, I I don't know how long it would go. Like, how long could she be busy? Like, what if I met my match?
But she's saying that about you. No one's ever outlasted me. How miserable could he be? Well, John's going to bring the noise. God, girls.
And I want to make it clear, like, I'm not intentionally making you miserable.
Right, right? No, like, it's just naturally.
Yeah, it's just being yourself, baby.
Right. You're just being yourself. It happens to make them miserable.
Yeah.
But what about your match? What if you were just being yourself and somebody liked it?
Ugh. God, I don't know. I think I'd break up with that girl right away. I'd have to hate that person.
Yeah, I mean that you dump her right away. Like, yeah. That's almost like I don't trust your judgment.
It's like I've always said, the single greatest turnoff is a girl like admitting she likes me. It disgusts me.
This is when girls are like, I hate when guys play games. Like, I'm like, we don't play games. Like, don't like me. I don't want you to like me at all. I'll hate you.
I'm like, what's wrong with you? Why? Like, no. You know how you have red flags? My red flag in a girlfriend is she likes me. Like, that's a red flag. What's wrong with you?
Listen, there are so many girls who listen to this show every week who will tweet, like, I have such a big crush on Feidelberg. Like, I want to hook up with Feidelberg. There's somebody out there who's listening who she fits this profile to a T. And just for the science of it all, we need to get that girl out here.
Is that how a girl gets fights? Like, they should start tweeting, I hate this guy. Yeah. I can't stand this guy. And all of a sudden, fights will slide right in those DMs.
As long as you're hot, if you're tweeting, like, I can't stand Feidelberg, I'll bet you he'll slide in the DMs.
No, because I don't like to be disliked, but I don't like to be liked. It's a weird gray area.
You are a fucking chick. You are unbelievable. Let's see. Let's go to number 9.
By the way, just quick shout out to that guy for. I like how he said, "What did he say?
Gonna move to get a city, get a job in another city."
But he said like that was the most reasonable move.
It's the only logical way out.
I love that. That's the most reasonable thing to do is to move to another city.
You know, he's not wrong. It's the best way to pull the Band-Aid off. Just disappear from her life. Number 9. One Piece.
Hey. So.
Oh, what's up, girl?
The One Piece bathing suit, like the short hair and romper thing, where you have to be really hot to pull it off, and even then, like, you look better in the two-piece. Really don't know what to buy.
All right, we got a girl here who wants a little advice on bathing suits.
Interesting.
Analogy.
Proposal, yeah.
Yeah, so we always say that short hair, if you're really hot, you can pull it off, but you'd probably always be hotter with long hair. The romper, if you're really hot, you can look good in a romper, but again, there's clothing that will make you look hotter. They're just options where you're setting yourself up for failure. I don't think the One Piece bathing suit falls in that.
I agree with you 100%. Now, I think One Pieces are sexy.
They have to be sexy, though. They need to be, like, high cut on the waist. You can't be wearing, like, a frumpy One Piece.
Well,
but like a
everything in history,
right.
Can't be disgusting.
Right, but I'm saying you could be hot and you could put on, like, a true One Piece, like you're the lifeguard, you know, like wearing a fucking... Like you're at the Olympics or some shit.
Yeah, I know.
It's got to be a little bit sexier, a little bit skimpier. I think the One Piece is great for chicks because it's like you can hide a little bit more.
Yeah,
the romper is going to be great. Yeah. Like, I can't take my shirt off. It's all one thing.
No, I think
I'm going to be totally naked.
I think I am huge One Piece guy.
More so than a bikini.
I mean, I guess I don't really have a preference when you put it like that.
Yeah.
But
I mean, I just think that the bikini is like the undisputed champ. Like, it's been around forever, and now I think One Pieces in the past couple years have become a thing.
Yeah, because I think you can just do more with it. I think
you're in it for the fashion.
Well, I think that's always one of the things that, like, pops out to me about a girl first is, like, just like her style, like how she carries herself.
Now, what do you think about this, though, when you see the girl wearing, like, the classic Vegas pool party One Piece that's like a zillion straps and a zillion...
That's a little much.
Yeah, it's like a little... It's like a Vegas pool party thing. Yeah. It's like you're that kind of girl. If you just have like a sexier, cooler One Piece on, you're probably turning more heads than the average bikini.
I would guess so, yes.
Because maybe there was a time where the bikini was like, oh, shit, that girl's basically in her underwear. In 2017, it's like, that ain't moving the needle at all. Unless I can, like, see the butt plug hanging out or something. You know, it's just like, that ain't getting it done in the age of the internet. So don't worry about that. Just be a little different. Stand out a little bit with the sexier One Piece.
I am very pro One Piece.
Decidedly not short hair and romper. Rock that One Piece, girl. Next up on the list, we got, let's go, John, why don't you pick one here from our list?
Friends or virgins? Wait, hang on.
Friends or Virgins does sound like a good one.
These are all really good.
Yeah. They're well titled by Super Producer BC. Clickbait. He clickbaits us on this fucking list.
Look, you put micro penis down, I'm going to pick a micro penis.
Micro penis it is. Let's go.
Joe from Boston here. So I was out with my friends a few weeks ago, and the girls ended up going home with this group of guys, and one of the girls wasn't hooking up with any of the guys, and she called me about her situation. She ended up falling asleep in a empty bed, and later on a guy came in to find her in his own bed. And so he woke her up, and she felt obliged to then hook up with him because she kind of had used his bed for herself.
What a woman.
And as she went to go down on him, she found out that he had a little bit of a problem downstairs with the micropenis. And as she described it, it was like trying to put a carrot stick between two tweezers. And so that's she tiny. Then, he looked at her and basically said, "Get to it, baby." And now she's wondering, was she obliged to keep going because of this situation, or what kind of irrational confidence this guy has for having a micro penis? How would you guys handle this situation?
I love this all around. I love this all around because the fact that there are chicks out there, and I think like a decent amount of them that would be like, I gotta have to fuck this guy because I was in his bed. Like the obligation is crazy, but I think that people think that way, or like he spent money on the date. Like I have to let him put his penis inside me. That is crazy, but that's how the world works.
That's insane to me. That's absolutely insane.
I mean, because there are like
that's
I
when they're talking
never...
about the patriarchy. That's what we're talking about right here.
That's what's up.
I spent $40. So you want
you gotta make me come somehow.
Fuck. That's insane.
What's even crazier, and I love even more, is a dude with a micro penis with confidence out the ass, because that's just what you got to be. If you're cursed with a micro penis, I think you got to be that guy.
I think that's outrageous.
What else do you do? Never fuck?
If I had a micro penis, I would never have sex. That would be it. I would, because it's much like an awkward conversation. Like I just won't have it. I would never have sex. Maybe I'd like buy hookers.
I was gonna say it would have to be like a paid situation.
Yeah, but like I would never.
But think about the circumstances. Like, that's the closest thing you're ever gonna get to a hooker. That's not a hooker. A crew of girls comes back to your house. You find one randomly in your bed. Even if you have a micro penis, you're saying to yourself, "This was a gift from above." This girl just plopped in my bed by the grace of God. I'm going to make her put my carrot stick inside her.
I think
not make her. That's the wrong terminology.
That's the wrong term. I don't think I would. I think I would be beyond embarrassed. I think I would just be like, you know, I think having a micro penis would be like having AIDS, where I'm like, I never want to tell you about it, so I'm just never gonna fuck you.
Right. You don't want to have to disclose it.
Yeah, it would almost be freeing. Like in Wizard of Lies, the HBO movie, mm-hmm. I watched it the other day. Awesome. But I kept thinking like how good it must have felt for Madoff to finally turn himself in.
Yeah.
Cause like for
the
fucking
burden.
40 years of just like lying about that must be so hard. So like it would almost be freeing to be like, look, I have a micro penis, I have AIDS, I'm just never having sex again. So like,
stop worrying about it.
It's yeah, like
just live
done.
A sexless life, and so much stress would just poof disappear.
Yeah, it sounded like a monk. Like, I wouldn't go be a monk, but I'd just be like a drunk monk in public. I'm like, I don't give a fuck about talking to girls at the bars. I don't give a fuck about taking girls to dinners. Like, I'm gonna just do me.
Dude, you know what you just described? That JJO life. You got a little micro penis, just crack off with that tweezer, you're going to live such a freeing life that the rest of the guys with normal dicks would be jealous of. They might not know it, but deep down, they'd be jealous of that micro penis life.
I think so. I think there's definitely a sense to it where we'd be like, God, you know,
every
lucky
time you go to a bar, like, oh, there's that hot girl. Like, should I go talk to her? Nah.
No,
I'm just
going to
like watch the game,
the
drink a beer, have some more wings. Oh, does that girl like me or not? I don't know. Should I like text her? Nah, don't bother. You got a micro penis.
Yeah, you're going to die alone, man. Like, you're never going to please anybody. So like, fuck it. I mean, I guess if we're going to kind of bookend this whole thing, if maybe a micro penis guy just does work.
Maybe he just goes down and just fucking, he's the
but
ultimate.
It didn't seem like this guy did that. It seemed like he was
get
like,
to it, baby.
Like, I, if I was a micro penis guy, there's no way I'm telling you get to it, baby. It's like,
please, 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 thank you.
Oh, I'm just gonna go. I'm gonna dive in head first.
Right,
and then
they're really gonna feel obligated.
And then, yeah, then I'm gonna trick you into fucking me by fucking you first.
Usually I end these episodes asking for your last words, John. I think those were them. I'm going to trick you into fucking me by fucking you first. Put that on a goddamn Saturdays and for the Boys t-shirts, all right? That's it for this week. We'll catch you on Tuesday after Memorial Day. You're going to be hungover.
We'll be here because we're fucking awesome like that.
Yep, that's how we roll. When you need us the most, we're there. You'll be hungover. You'll be sunburned. You'll be broke. You'll be worrying about your STD test. And you'll be able to listen to KFC Radio.
Shouts!
We're out.